Alright, so we just, with this song, we just offer our respects to the previous acharyas. And Jagatika Maharaj always emphasizes that we come in the disciplic succession, and that we should always be connected to the disciplic succession, and therefore it's important to keep the previous acharyas in mind. With that being said, he greatly has great affection for his own spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. And he's written a song, Jati Prabhupada Navito, a Bengali song, which translated is, if there was no Prabhupada, if Prabhupada had not come, Jati Prabhupada Navito, Tabi Ki Hito, then what would happen? If Prabhupada had not come, what would happen? First of all, he would not be here. And as a result, his disciples would not be here. And I'm pretty sure most of our disciples, our Guru Maharaj, would not be here. Our disciples, yeah. So this is a song that he wrote, he composed, Jati Prabhupada Namita, glorifying Srila Prabhupada. And at the same time, one of our senior god brothers here in Bangladesh, Madhu Gopal, is going to read Srila Jagat Goswami's biography.
President God's order, help found Karunga Shiva temples. In 1970, Shri Prabhupada sent to India to establish ISKCON in India on behalf of Shri Karunga. They will do kirtan, enroll live platform members, deliver lectures, and perform public and private programs in people's houses. In the same year, 1970, on the Holy Rudasana Day, His Holiness was initiated into the renounced order of life, sannyas, by Shri Prabhupada. He was given the name Jayapadana Swami. As the president of ISKCON Kolkata, he helped organize two gigantic programs with over 30,000 people, where over 30,000 people gathered to hear Shri Prabhupada every night. 1971, land was obtained in Sri Mayapuram for constructing the world headquarters of ISKCON's International Teaching Center, and Sri Prabhupada assigned him to develop the project as his life mission. I have given you the kingdom of God. Now you develop it. During the initial development of Sri Mayapur Chandrakoya Mandir, the presiding deities were brought to Mayapur. His Holiness recognized him from a dream he had years ago of preaching in the West. On one occasion, Sri Prabhupada told His Holiness that he had formerly been born in India as the devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and that he and other devotees had taken a birth in the West to assist in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement there. His Holiness' work tirelessly preaches dynamically in India and around the globe. He had learned many Indian languages as well as foreign languages and had wonderfully accepted the original Vedic culture, mainly the culture of Mahatma Bengali. He organized the ISKCON Food Relief Program in India after the Bangladesh War to feed the refugees and hungry people. His program has continued for over a decade, giving an average of around 4 million plates of Harsha Krishna Prasad every year to the needy without discrimination. During the 1978 flood in Bengal, and sometimes you meet the risk of life of distributing prasad to the affected villages. Ever since then, the food relief program, headed by His Holiness, has continued to provide as much needed service. All the selfless service across several prominent Indians and tens of thousands of villagers to petition the Indian government to grant them Indian citizenship. In 1978, after the experience of Shri Prabhupada, His Holiness began accepting disciples on behalf of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. He is at present one of the initiating spiritual masters, guru of ISKCON, and a member of the Governing Body Commission, as well as divisional trustee for the Bhakti Vinoda Trust. He is also the minister for Congregation of Preaching. In recent years, His Holiness has extensively traveled around the world to initiate new disciples as adherents of Sanatana Dharma. Destinations are South America, Nepal, Bangladesh, the Middle East, Malaysia, Australia, Russia, and Europe. In 1989, His Holiness survived a murder attempt on his life by an incendiary Gandhi preparations, taking a pulpit in Ganga or a shepherd tear or two in deep meditation upon the lotus feet of Shishi Radha Madhava. It was this golden land which Srila Prabhupada gave him to develop, and His Holiness made it His home and life mission. Through His extensive preaching activity, His Holiness has made every ISKCON temple His home, yet the land of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remains His most dear home. In Sri Mayapur Gan, His Holiness is absorbed in the mood and atmosphere of Gaudadesh, Lord Guru Sundar's eternal abode. Here, sometimes He will be seen mingling freely with the locals, meeting the villagers, noticing simple Bengali cooperation, and taking the dividend. It was this golden land which Srila Prabhupada gave to develop. His Holiness endeavors to serve this instruction of Srila Prabhupada in the mood of sanctuary separation. Srila Jagannatha Maharaj's
So that was a quick and brief biography of His Holiness. Obviously this does not do him justice. He does a lot more than this. But so the next part was supposed to be Yajananda Swami giving his offerings to His Holiness. But he's on his way, so we'll start with the disciples first. even after this attack, life-threatening attack, he continued to travel around the world and preach. Me personally, if something like that would happen to me, I would be like, Krishna, sorry, but bye, you know? I almost died, you know? But that didn't stop him. He just kept going. And then recently, in 2008, he had another life-threatening situation where he had a stroke, which paralyzed him, and he was in the ICU for a long period of time. Actually, the doctor said that in normal conditions, somebody's not supposed to live after that, but by the prayers of the devotees and his own spiritual strength, I guess, he's still here. And not only is he's paralyzed, but that still doesn't stop him. So his dedication to serving Srila Prabhupada should inspire everybody. And I'm standing here, and I'm sounding very, I'm thinking this myself, okay? Because here I'm saying, my Guru Maharaj is doing this, and I'm like, I'm not doing so much. But anyways, he should be inspiration to everybody because of this. Fortunately for me, Atlanta is his base in the West, and so for me growing up in Atlanta, I got a lot of personal association with him. This past summer, I was fortunate enough to travel because he needs many people traveling with him to assist him and just doing basic everyday things that we take for granted, like walking, brushing our teeth, eating. So through this process, I have many realizations, and it's just so inspiring to see him carry on when it takes him so much effort to just rise out of bed. He needs 2-3 people to help him to get out of bed, and then people have to help him, his disciples have to help him change his clothes, brush his teeth. There's very little that he can do on his own, and yet he's just traveling around the world nonstop. When the doctors tell him we should stop, we should rest a bit, they say Prabhupada had a curse that he could not stay in one place too long, and this curse moved on to one of his disciples, Javanika Swami, and he basically can't stay in one place. But one of the few things that I've, one of the, not few, one of the main things that I've learned from being with Prabhupada is the importance of caring for other devotees. We have the greatest philosophy in the world that we all know, but there's more to devotees than just our philosophy. And that's basically how we, you know, care for other devotees. We were in Dallas once, and we went to this Namath program. We were staying at this devotee's house, and he leads a Namath program. So there was about 25 to 30 devotees that came for 3 days. And he travels around the world, he sees thousands of people, he has thousands of disciples himself. But after seeing these people for one time, he memorized their names, which may not seem like a big deal. Big deal, you know, you memorize somebody's name. But when you meet so many different people, and you see, you have your own disciples. I don't think any of the disciples know how much disciples he has exactly. But when you have so many disciples, and then you can still remember people's name that easily. That might not seem like a big deal, but later that devotee house that we stayed in, he had another Namath about a week later. And then they discussed what stood out about Javanika Swami. And every single person that was going to the Namath said they were amazed how he could remember their names, their faces, and how caring he was. Little simple things that we take for granted, like just asking another devotee how are you doing, stuff like that. That's very dear to me. Once one disciple or somebody asked me a question, what is the most important thing in Krishna? What, if you could teach a disciple something, what is that one thing that you would teach them? And he said, the philosophy is great, our philosophy is great, but caring for devotees is the most important. It's what gives us our identity. And that's something that's very, very important to be honest. And then. Yadunanda Salesiana, so we have Ananda Gore, but he's working with the Prashakana. Ananda Gore? But he's working with the Prashakana.
I can say it's from the website. Should I say it from there?
You need a chair?
Well, I mean, maybe a chair. Mayapur is so developed thanks to Jayapataka Swami Maharaj. He has been sacrificing his life to develop Mayapur and to spread Krishna consciousness globally in a way which has been also out of range. The level of sacrifice that Maharaj has done is outstanding. Maharaj was ordained sannyasi in 1970. In 1970, he had the age of some of you. And this is his 64th anniversary. So make your calculation to the meditations. 64. So it's 43 years ago. Maharaj was 21 years old. Who is here 21 years old? 21 years old, around that. Over 20. 22. 20, 22. So can you imagine taking sannyas at your age, taking sannyas and resolving, dedicating the whole life to serve Sri Prabhupada and to serve the community of the world?
Very ambitious.
Very ambitious.
Okay.
Something you cannot even dream of. It's not just to renounce it at such a young age, but it's to maintain it for the whole life. That's where the test is. For a young man, 21 years old, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas in God himself, in his Leela he took sannyas at 24 years old. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, this was 500 years ago, was concerned that such a beautiful young man, how he will be able to maintain sannyas. And he wanted to teach him the Vedanta so that he would become fixed in transcendental knowledge. Look at the pictures of Jayapataka Maharaj as a young man, but a handsome person, tall, strong, isn't it? Women would feel attracted to such a personality. And so the credit is the sacrifice to give Krishna to others, to serve his spiritual master, and to serve devotees, as Purichandra Nitai very nicely was explaining, serve devotees. This is one of the personal characteristics of Jayapataka Maharaj, that he is very personal. I know many, many devotees from all over the world who I meet, and they tell me when they feel inspired in Krishna consciousness, and many of them talk to me, especially devotees who went through some type of personal difficulty, or their spiritual master went through a personal difficulty, and how Jayapataka Maharaj was so personal with them in extending himself to ask for their well-being. Simply ask him, how are you? What can I do for you? And always keep Arjun mentioned the term ambitious. It's ambitious for Prabhupada, ambitious for Krishna. This is one of the characteristics of Jayapataka Maharaj. He doesn't think small, he thinks big. Everything he does is big. And even if he collapses physically, as it has happened, response to be weak. Who can do it normally? I mean, normally, if something like that happens to your body, you may retire, maybe write if you can, isn't it? Retreat or something secluded. But Maharaj Mukhi goes out and he finishes a translator, he takes the translator, and you can follow it and pay attention and understand what he's saying. And he's speaking about Krishna. And one characteristic when I was reflecting, of course there is so much to say about Maharaj that we go on and on a long time. One of the characteristics I was reflecting on Chaitanya Maharaj's qualities is that he is blessed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he has taken shelter of serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his holy land in Sri Ramayapur. And he's always taking shelter of Sri Gauranga and inviting everybody to sing the holy names of Gauranga. He learned Bengali language. He went to India preaching in the villages. I remember once somebody was criticizing sometimes envious people. When someone does something big, envious people will come to criticize. That's the unfortunate nature of this world. They will criticize, oh, he has so many disciples. And then I heard this from a Madhava Guru, who was a resident of Mayapur, Sri Prabhupada's disciple. And he was sharing his response. He said, yes, but you do the same. You take the cartels as Maharaj has done and go to the villages in the forest, in the middle of nowhere, in Bengal, in communist countries where you may be risking your life, where Prabhupada was threatened to be killed, and you do the same. So this is the sacrifice that Maharaj has done, giving, spreading the glories of Gauranga, the holy name of Krishna's holy name, the Namahata, not only in India, but everywhere around the world. Maharaj was famous, and still, nowadays, he would have the Guinness. He was a second traveler in an airplane, in the world was a second. I don't have like a complete statistics, but I was told that he was, sometimes he would give morning class in one temple, midday class in another temple, evening class in another temple, sometimes in different countries. And he was extending himself, he is extending himself so much to give Krishna to others. And this is not possible unless, as Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Krishna Shakti in an Ahitara Prabhupada. Unless someone is empowered with Krishna, they will not successfully spread the holy name of the Lord. When I visited actually several of the Eastern Middle East countries, Tamiladesh, Maturadesh, these are names given by Jayaprakash Maharaj. My appreciation for Maharaj grew even more from what he had, by seeing what he had done. So many devotees, grihastas, from Indian background, so enthusiastically engaged to spread Krishna consciousness in their place. They were doing a marathon, a Damodar Arctic marathon. And the devotees who were going, they had a quota. I think it was up to 3,000 Arctics for the month of Kartik they were going to accomplish. And every year Maharaj was telling them to double it. As Srila Prabhupada would do, Prabhupada would tell his disciples, you double your preaching. So Maharaj with the same mood kept carried by Srila Prabhupada to St. Dominic. And the devotees were doing it. They are actually a monkish. And everything was so nicely organized with, they have calendars, pictures of Yashoda Damoda, and the prayers, they distributed prasadam. And the devotees were involved to, actually, they are asking the place where they have done more Damoda antics in one day, thanks to Jayadaka Maharaj. They went there, and the devotees were organizing the programs and taking the group of people from one house to another. Sometimes they would go to as much as 10 houses in one day. And in this way, they attracted other people who were not Krishna conscious. They made them Krishna bhaktas, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees. So, if we want to become empowered to preach Krishna consciousness, today we can take this opportunity to pray to the lotus feet of this wonderful Vaishnava servant of Srila Prabhupada, so that we can also contribute to the propagation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and Srila Prabhupada's movement around the world. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Time, I think peace and happiness, power, make this our place. any person probably has like one, two, three passports. He has like a whole box of things. That just shows how much he actually travels and preaches Krishna consciousness. Second is his idea of the Bhakti Krishna program. He has always promoted his idea of Bhakti Krishna because he believes that he can reach out to larger masses. And every time he would actually ask the devotees, like, how many Bhakti Krishnas are there, as opposed to the first time. And the next time he came, and the number was same, he would actually be quite dissatisfied with what's going on. We should actually increase the number of the Bhakti Krishna programs. And this shows actually that how much he's really into actually spreading the movement. He's really into it. His mind, his body, everything. He's just absorbed in this future that he's working. He just wants to like, make sure they reach out to all parts of the world and within the country. And also, like, he's also very personal. He has a personal. And he has, I've seen that he can actually be the person's mind. Because actually once I was a little bit sad because I had a problem. And it was in Malaysia, and suddenly he came behind me and put his arm around me. He's like, how's life? Is everything okay? And I was just like shocked because he knew that something was wrong and he just came from nowhere. And I see that he has this one-to-one personal relationship with every single disciple. Also, he also remembers, I think from our book, he remembers almost every single name of his disciples. Even though he has like thousands of disciples, he never forgets the name. He sees a disciple and he just say the name of the disciple. That's one amazing quality that I've seen. He has a fantastic memory. Even after the show, when we actually met him again, he would actually remember my name. And I was simply amazed by it. Because he's always in the mood of Krishna, when we actually met him after the show, and we were telling him that we had come to see him. And he said, no, you should have come and see me. You should come and see our gentleman. And I was really like amazed by this, because he's, even after so much, his condition was really bad. Because right in front of me, his eyes were drooping and his skin was sagging, and he would barely stand up, and he just said, you should come and see Jagannath, not me. For me, I would say our person is more happy somebody else. But he wasn't in that consciousness at all. He just came and we came and we told him that. He says, and he just said it right now. It's like, don't come and see me, go and see our children. It's just simply amazing for me. And then also, lastly, I would say that his love for, he has this desire to please his disciples actually. And this I've seen actually when all devotees would cook various foodstuffs. And this was I think 2 or 3 years before we showed actually, and his health wasn't really good. But still disciples would cook all kinds of foodstuffs. I mean it was prashad, but it was not really healthy for his body. And still he would honor me just to make sure that the disciple is pleased. Even if and I mean he was actually suffering and he cannot actually partake of foodstuffs, but still out of his way and just honor the Krishna just to bring the disciple happy. And actually, if I'm not wrong, Chaitanya Maharaj actually told me and my dad personally, like, any other disciple that if my own disciple gives me the Krishna when I'm sick, I will take the plate and I'll throw it at his plate. Because, yeah, he says that, yeah, disciples should realize that, but still, Guru Maharaj should never care. I mean, he knew it was bad for him. They still honor the prashad actually, and that's amazing. It's quite successful, I would say. And yeah, his traveling is also one of his personal feature of his face with his smile. Like every time I go and see him, it's his smile actually, which makes him forget everything, all your worries in the world. Like I just go and see him, and he smiles. It's just amazing for me. And I feel like all my problems and yeah, so I'm most auspicious that I actually pray to Bhakti Shumadev to give him more strength to continue with his tireless preaching actually, because he's doing well. And I want to pray for Bhakti Shumadev
you, Nandagaur, for sharing. Next, we have Professor Vitram to share some of your realizations and experiences.
As the editor, I had to prepare the newsletter with all the scores and then the stories at the end. I edited his story. I cut it down a little bit, maybe because it had to fit in. And maybe rather than extend it an additional page, maybe I cut it a little bit. I can't remember exactly what I cut it. But I did shorten it. And then he wrote, after about 2 weeks, to the federal president in New York, and he said, why was my story cut down so much? He said, it was cut down to the bones. So when I saw him, I happened to see him for the first time, I think. I saw him after that, about a year later, in Los Angeles. I introduced myself and said, where am I? Editor, the basketball editor, and copywriter. Actually, Jack Duckner comes from Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a state in the central part of America, in the north part of America. And I'm from a neighboring state. So I guess our backgrounds are similar. I was in America this summer for the first time in 15 years. I've been in Europe for 15 years. And I heard about something that happened about 150 years ago in America. This concerns manufacturing, but I think there's a parallel. Is that Jed Duckenberg took from Srila Prabhupada. The instruction and the inspiration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to distribute Krishna consciousness to every town and village as much as possible. And he was so successful in preaching many, many places and giving Krishna consciousness to many souls. Srila Prabhupada told him that not everyone will join the temple, so just no way that the temple is going to be. Temples are going to accommodate everyone. Many people will just stay in their families, in their homes, and then become congregational members. So he took this as another inspiration for Srila Prabhupada, and he studied one church. I forget which church, but some church had a congregational program. And he studied how they did their congregational program. From that he derived the Bhakti Bhakti program, combining it with the ideas of Srila Prabhupada. It was always especially inspiring to visit Mayapur and attend the seminars that Jayanta Thakur Lord gave in Chaitanya. Usually he would speak on the roof of the lotus book. It was so nice to go up on the flat roof in the evening and sit down and hear some Chaitanya Katha. Jayanta Thakur was a big inspiration to us. And in the most recent years, say in the last 10 years, perhaps, he did something even more wonderful on board Purnima. We would spend the day fasting in the park in front of the Lotus building. There would be three altars set up for the bathing of the Abhishek on board Purnima. I think there was like one altar for senior devotees and one altar for men and one altar for women, and there were sets of four prayers to be made. And then, after that, when the moon was rising, it was time to break the fast. So he invited his conference to begin a tradition, an annual tradition. He asked his disciples to cook, and they prepared a feast for his grandbrothers and grandsisters and so many guests and so on. So we would all go up to the roof and sit in the night. And he would read the menu with all of his guests. He would make us enthusiastic by reading the menu. This is what you're going to have. You're going to have this prasad, this prasad, this prasad. So we have breakfast. I saw him recently in Los Angeles. He visited Los Angeles on the appearance day of the Chankas Thakur. And there was a very nice young man there who actually comes from Hawaii. He grew up in Hawaii, and one of his best friends was another young friend who grew up in a devotee family. His parents were devotees. So this young man got the association with friends and family. He became interested in Krishna consciousness. So he was now a bhakti to Los Angeles. His name was Boyd. He used to make cupcakes for the Govinda's restaurant. He still does it. Really good son, very humble demeanor. So we sometimes had a nickname for him. We called him the boy of the universe. Catch the the boy of the universe. Lord of the universe. So we don't. But anyway, by the time we talk to him or something, we see it, it's that day, and he lived in Locha, and that's okay, thank you.
Thank you for the meeting, for sharing your additions.
Can I just sit here? place, and he was like preaching about volcanoes. And so then Jack Tuckmar was asking the boys what they thought of this, and such an animal, I said, well, I think it's kind of a fashion Maharaj. So they were having a good laugh about that. And then later on, Maharaj was talking about the Bhakti Bhiksha program. It was very interesting because he wasn't well. And the only way that I knew that he wasn't well was because he had a big box of tissue, and he had to keep cropping up mucus into the tissue. The kind of thing that if I had, this wouldn't be in public because I would be feeling too sorry for myself and too miserable. But he was totally transcendental. Just, he say something about the mucus, I don't know how to do this. And he was teaching what was about the Bhiksha program. And he was very enthusiastic and he was very compassionate. Sometimes when he would speak about how important it was, was about the Bhiksha program developed, he would get tears in his eyes. And I said, he was really, really, I felt like the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, the compassion of Lord Chaitanya was coming through. And that's what was fueling his desire to push on this Bhakti Bhiksha program. I was in India in 1993-94. And remember, I was with a disciple of Jack Tuckmar, and she saw him, and she paid her obeisances to him, and then he just kind of looked at the microphone, and he asked his disciple, in a very friendly way, who is she? And it was interesting, because I felt like, even though he didn't know me, he was interested in me, and he liked me. And that felt really nice. He felt, he's a very busy man, a very important man, but he was interested in her friends, interested in me. But just the natural friendliness of someone who's advanced spiritually helps us to realize how loving and friendly Krishna is. I'm trying to remember other times. Yes, also, you were mentioning about giving his guitar. He should also give his guitar when we go on the Navagriha Mandal. Wherever we'd stop, he would speak the doors of that place, and I don't know if it was him, but they would arrange for a drama to be done of the leader there, so that was really important. So what I can understand about Jack Tuckmar is that he's very much immersed in Chaitanya Leela. And you can see that from a very early age, a very beautiful young man, he just gave up everything. He had everything, he had beauty, he had youth, he had strength, intelligence, and he just gave it all to the Srila Prabhupada. And just immersed himself in mission of Srila Prabhupada. So in that sense, he's exactly where he is. Of course, I've heard stories from his disciples. There was one very, very unfortunate incident where someone tried to hurt him very badly a few years ago, remember? And he ended up, right after that, traveling. And he was supposed to go to, he stayed at the devotee's house, and he was supposed to go on a preaching meeting at night. They thought, he just went through this traumatic thing, just going to have a rest. Then he woke up a little later, and then the disciples said, he said, what time is it? We're going to kill him. So we might be getting him to wake him up because he felt he needed to rest and he's in the cares. Don't you ever let me sleep for your preaching room. So he was very dedicated, and it didn't seem that anything could stop him. And I remember when he got this, was it a stroke that he got? A very serious stroke. Apparently it was the kind of stroke that very few people survived. And I remember his picture was by Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet, and I remember one of the gentlemen who would pray, who would remember all the wonderful services done. And of course, he wondered if he did survive, how would he handle it? Because we knew there might be some serious damage. But you can see that even though his body is impaired, and I think to some extent, although that's improved, while he's walking in the streets, he's still somewhat impaired. But it doesn't stop him. It seems that he's really showing us that a person who's immersed in the mission of the spiritual master, the mission of Chaitanya, is not, it's really a way to heal. many great souls out of some succession, but it's always wonderful to see persons who seem to be living Chaitanya here right now, in the present. And they so just step away from the Chaitanya religion. Anyway, I didn't know what to say.
Everybody that I knew has some association with Guru Maharaj or various disciples. Would anybody else like to say something about Guru Maharaj?
Actually,
the
painting is Radha-Krishna. Thank you. Scene of him going with a gun I got to see, I got to know some things about him. One thing is that for me, he was always like this mentor. Like, we speak about Vajina and Vajina and Vila, but for me, he is one of the persons. He's not even, you know, some people, they remind you, they have the mood of Vajina, they remind you, but for me, he's like personified Vajina Vila. He's like right there, participating full on without, like, I don't see a difference between him being here and him being with, like, in the middle of Vajina. It's so powerful, and I think that personally in my life, I was so much enriched by his, by that mood, that I somehow or other, you know, crashed on. And because every time he comes, as everyone was saying, like, Lord Chaitanya is always on his mouth, always on his mind, whatever the class is about, it will end up being about Lord Chaitanya. And I really appreciate his sense of humor, which you only mentioned this after him, because he has this brilliant sense of humor, which makes his association quite easy. Not like a very heavy person, that even though he has such a common realization, he's a very simple person, and to hear the class is very simple and very good. And what I really appreciate about him is the way in which he serves Srila Prabhupada in the mission. Like, he asks all his disciples for initiation, or when he accepts him, will you please help me to serve Srila Prabhupada in this one, like that, or spread the mission of Chaitanya. I think that that's quite significant. One thing that is so notable about him is that he is never alone. I don't know, I mean, there's so many different... One thing is that was mentioned is that he constantly travels. Like, there's so many people who serve him, who alternate to serve him because they can't catch up to his rhythm. The other thing is that he's never alone. I've noticed when he, you know, he would come to serve and stay for a few days, but literally for devotees would come into his room before he would wake up. There would already be three devotees in his room doing things, preparing things. He would wake up and the devotees would be with him 24 hours a day. Like unless he was sleeping, there was no way that he was alone, ever. I mean, I don't remember that I ever saw him alone. And that is such a, you know, there is such transparency in this thing that you really completely, that you're so pure that you completely give your privacy. I mean, who of us could give our privacy like that? There would be some reason. No, but he's always in his time, always a big group of devotees. I think that this has connection with school, the Lord Chaitanya and compassion. And just for the end, I tell a little story, maybe I shouldn't tell, but I heard this story from his one of his close servants, maybe not him, but he was entitled, who lives in Madhu for many years, and it's a post hemorrhage, post stroke story. Anyway, when Maharaj had a stroke, he was for basically 3 or 4 days in a near-death condition. So after 3 or 4 days, the doctors, they were already directly signing this document that he's dead and the body was dead. Then somehow, you know, he displayed some signs of life. So in any case, right after that, became better, there was a meeting, kind of like you've seen it, but I think it was a little smaller. I don't know if you were there. But I think it was a little bit smaller, but it was a lot of his godbrothers and like that, leaders of wisdom. And the meeting started and everyone was saying, Maharaj, you really know, I mean, it's such a sign. We're so lucky that you're still with us, and now you really have to take it easy, and you have to really stop traveling so much, and don't take that much engagement. And everyone was naturally doing this advice out of love and out of care. So Maharaj was just sitting and listening and becoming more and more brave as this was going on. And then when everyone finished, Maharaj just stood up and said, if you forbid me to stop preaching, I will immediately enter samadhi. And it just showed how, like, my life has no point. If you, like, I love you and I appreciate your advice, but if you're trying to decrease my preaching, I will be. That's the only reason why I stayed. And this was, like, so when Kuntunidaku told us this, he was present there, so we don't have any need to doubt this story. I think this story is kind of really a testimony of, like, in one such a simple thing, like, who is
everyone for sharing their realizations and associations with Emerson Marsh. Now we'll have